It's Monday, May 20th, 2024, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Matthew Moore. Today, a buzzy hobby has a swarm of enthusiasts in the region.
It's just important for everything. It's important for the beauty of the flowers. It's important for the birds because the insects, everything depends on everything, and bees are a big part of that.
We hear from two local beekeepers and the bees' pivotal role in pollination.
Plus, Hillary Rodham Clinton discusses her life in Arkansas.
Well, I had so many formative years here. I was privileged to see just about every aspect of Arkansas life across the state and to work with some of the successful companies that were born right here in Arkansas.
Highlights from a conversation with the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History.
All that after the news from NPR.
Support for KUAF comes from Lucy Frazier Toxicology in Fayetteville, providing toxicology consulting services to attorneys and engineering firms, specializing in air quality, toxicology, and other health effects evaluations. More at lucyfrazier-toxicology.com.
This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, May 20th, 2024. I'm Matthew Moore. Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF in downtown Fayetteville. Later on our show, Randy Dixon from the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History continues his discussion about Hillary Clinton and her time in the natural state. That's in our second half hour. First today, apiary is more than just a new buzzy hobby for folks in Northwest Arkansas. Some beekeepers in the region have spent years perfecting the craft. Ozarks at Large's Evian Keels takes us there.
Beekeeping, or apiculture, can be defined as the care and management of colonies of honeybees. The art of beekeeping began about 9,000 years ago in North Africa, but today it is becoming more and more popular right here in Northwest Arkansas. Ed Levi is a retired beekeeper and former apiary specialist for the Arkansas State Plant Board. He says beekeeping is a huge part of our ecology.
It's just important for everything. It's important for the beauty of the flowers. It's important for the birds because the insects, everything depends on everything. And bees are a big part of that. And originally there weren't honeybees in the U.S. There were solitary bees. There's over 4,000 different varieties of solitary bees in the U.S. But since agriculture got so big here, honeybees are necessary. Just for an example, almonds are the biggest crop that needs honeybees. California grows 80% of the almonds of the whole world, and they wouldn't make one almond if it wasn't for honeybees. So almost 3/4 of all the honeybees in the United States, including Florida and the Northeast, go to California for pollination.
Levi says one out of every 3 bites we eat is because of honeybees.
We probably wouldn't starve if we didn't have honeybees, but we'd be eating oatmeal and rice. Because those aren't pollinated.
But Levi doesn't only eat the crops pollinated by the bees, he also eats the pollen.
When I was working, I would carry my lunch with me, and I'd usually have to eat my lunch at 10:30 because I was hungry. And when I started eating pollen every morning, I'd forget about my lunch, and at 2:30, 3 o'clock, I'd say, I better eat lunch or I won't eat dinner.
An important aspect of beekeeping, whether you're collecting pollen, harvesting honey, or just looking in a hive, is the smoker. The smoker is a handheld stainless steel device used to puff smoke from dried leaves or pine needles into the hive. Once the bees sense the smoke, it has a calming effect on the colony.
They go in and they gather their jewelry and their televisions and stuff and photos. But they do go in and eat honey, so that if they have to leave, this is what the books used to say, if they have to leave, they have resources. We know more now. What it's doing is there's a pheromone which is the main way bees communicate, is by pheromones. And there's an alarm pheromone. And when bees get excited at all, some of them push out that pheromone, and the others smell it and gets them excited. So the smoke covers that pheromone up.
Levi organized and runs the Northwest Arkansas Queen Breeding Cooperative, located just outside of Fayetteville at Cobblestone Farms. There are a handful of hives out there that he owns himself, while the others are owned by various community members. He took one of the frames out to get a better look.
What did I do with my other hive, too? Other pocket. So this has got a lot of honey in it up here. Let me pull one of these out and show you. So this is in the super. It's above the queen excluder, so the queen can't lay up here. One of the reasons I like queen excluders, and beekeepers argue ongoing, always have argued, pro and against queen excluders. I like them because when the queen gets up here, not only are you going to have brood in your honey, but also you're going to have pollen in the frames, and then the pollen invites a wax moth, which is a parasite that can damage a lot of frames. So this is all capped honey. The humidity or moisture level in it is below 20%. Last couple years I've gotten it down into the 16s.
It's important for the bees to keep the moisture content low so that their honey can resist fermentation or granulation. They get the extra water out by fanning the honey with their wings.
And they do the same thing in the summer when it gets hot. I told you that the brood has to be between 93 and 95 degrees. Well, when it's 100 degrees out here in the sun, 100 degrees in the shade, it's hotter in the sun, and then all the bees in there make it even hotter. So they go and get water. And they bring water in and they put it around in the hive, and then they get in formations and blow it out. They create an air conditioning system, basically.
Levi says if you're interested in learning more about beekeeping, YouTube is a great place to start. But it's important to keep one thing in mind.
Anytime you're learning beekeeping, one of the first things you're going to learn is that there's lots of opinions out there. Everything that I say about bees, somebody will say something different. And they might be right, and I might be wrong. But what I'm saying is what works for me.
Another resource Levi mentioned is the Northwest Arkansas Beekeepers Association. Annette Rowe is the former president of the NWA Beekeepers Association. She manages 9 hives at her house with her husband.
I think we had heard about some new beekeeper classes offered in Fayetteville, and so he went and the first year, and you know, I thought he was just going to go learn, and then I noticed he's online ordering all this stuff, so I realized he was hooked.
Then, last year, the board of the Beekeepers Association asked her husband to be president. When he turned it down, he recommended Annette for the role.
That I couldn't believe. I was like, why did you say that? So they asked me, and first I was like, no, I'm not going to, you know, I don't feel like I'm experienced enough or have the knowledge to do it, but the more I thought about it, I just thought, you know, it's really fear that's keeping me from doing it. I'm only turning it down because I'm afraid I can't do it, or I'm afraid I won't do a good enough job. And I thought, that's a terrible reason to turn down an opportunity just because you're afraid, you know. So I kind of did a turnaround and said, okay, I'll do it.
And through her time with the Northwest Arkansas Beekeepers Association, she has noticed that the interest in beekeeping here in the NWA area is really growing.
We run into people all the time. All you have to do is mention honey or honeybees or something, no matter where you are, garage sale even, and, you know, get into a conversation. Either people have, you know, are interested in becoming beekeepers, or they grew up, you know, their parents were beekeepers, or they want to buy honey. You know, people like to buy local honey. And so I think the interest is really growing. We have a lot of people that join Northwest Arkansas Beekeepers Association, and we get new members all the time. And we have a monthly meeting, and usually our room is full.
Even if you live in the city, Rose says it can be a great spot to keep a hive.
because so many people have flower gardens, it's a pretty good place for bees. In fact, you can even have more honey production sometimes, you know, in the city where everybody has nice flower beds than out here. But we have about 80 acres of undeveloped land behind us. It's not ours, but our neighbor has 80 acres. And so we think probably our bees go that way a lot and just gather whatever's blooming in the trees. And so they have a lot of options out here.
Rose says that the bees always need help. And even if you can't keep a hive yourself, there are multiple different ways to give the bees a helping hand.
You can plant native flowers, or you can just be kind to bees. Don't kill a honeybee, you know. If one gets in your house, try to help it out. You know, I try to do everything I can to just, you know, help them out, whatever it takes. But in the summertime, you can, you know, keep water out. You can do this even if you're not a beekeeper. You can just have a little shallow pan of water with some pebbles in it, and bees can, your neighbors may have bees, or somebody, you know, bees can go up to, you know, 3 miles or so they could fly in and get a drink. So there's a lot of ways that we can all pitch in and be a little bit more bee friendly. No, you know, pesticide spraying. I mean, keep that to the absolute minimum. And I think people are becoming more aware of the things that it takes to be more, you know, friendly to the environment. And so I think that all works together.
Besides keeping her use of pesticides to a minimum, Ro also keeps her use of the smoker to a minimum. Even though it calms the bees down, she doesn't always take it with her when she's visiting the hives.
Some people think you should smoke them like crazy, and then I always think, well, I would hate it if somebody came in my house and started spraying smoke everywhere. I'd get all agitated too. So I kind of think maybe they would rather you didn't put smoke in their homes. But try to remember, you know, when you open a box, you're getting into their home. And how would you feel if somebody came in your home and started tearing everything apart? And so the more gentle you can be, that's kind of my philosophy. I got to grab this jacket up here.
Rose says they harvest their honey about twice a year because it can be quite a long and sticky process. And while they eat most of the honey they produce, she says she doesn't eat the pollen herself, but
if Ed does it, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah. If you're interested in getting started with beekeeping, the Northwest Arkansas Beekeepers Association has a free mentor program. This is a great way to learn from other beekeepers within the community about how to get a hive going. For more information, you can visit their website at nwabeekeepers.com. Mm-hmm. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Evian Keels.
Ahead on our show, Hillary Clinton discusses her time in Arkansas and her advocacy work here as well.
I'd done a lot of work around child abuse and neglect, and some of the early work I'd done as a legal aid lawyer, as a student in legal aid, had been around children, foster kids, abused and neglected kids. I was really interested in seeing what I could do to help on that front. So there were a few things. One was starting the Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, which was trying to focus political and public attention on, you know, some of the challenges that faced Arkansas kids.
More about her life and work while living in Arkansas in about 5 minutes on Ozarks at Large.
How does this sound? Or maybe this. How about this? We're enlisting the help of you, our listeners, to vote for your favorite Community Spotlight theme song finalist. Go to KUAF.com to listen to the songs and vote on our Instagram at KUAF_radio. Community Spotlight, where your voice matters.
Just a couple more weeks to make that vote count. You can do that to vote for the next theme song for the Community Spotlight by going to KUAF_radio. On Instagram. This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, Walmart shared that revenue was up 205% from the previous year. That beat their estimated revenue jump by about $2 billion. Paul Gatling, editor of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, spoke with Roby Brock this weekend about the news from Walmart. Gatling says one of the most interesting takeaways he heard came from Walmart's chief financial officer, John Rainey, who pointed out that inflation may have played a role in their higher-than-expected earnings.
the high inflation and the high cost of going out to eat and fast food is perhaps driving more customers to their grocery aisle. You know, the grocery segment of Walmart was really good. But yeah, like you said, I think a little over $5 million in profit and 160 some odd dollars in sales. So Tuesday was a good day for Walmart.
Last week, the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal also reported that Walmart was planning to cut hundreds of jobs, close 8 different stores, and relocate some of their workers located outside of Bentonville. Gatling says one thing that is at play for the company is their $1 billion plus investment in their brand new home office.
And I don't think they're building that to make that an option for people to work at on certain days. That's where they would like most of their people to work at. Donna Morris said it improves company culture, working together, sharing ideas together, that sort of thing. So, yes, there is some restructuring. Unfortunately, there is several hundred job losses that Walmart announced on Thursday as well. But it's not the first time they've announced restructuring like this, and probably won't be the last.
You can find a link to Roby Brock's full conversation with Paul Gatling at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. Gas prices are a bit lower today than a week ago. The website GasBuddy.com reports the average gallon of gas in Arkansas is 1.6 cents cheaper compared to last Monday. The average gallon costs $3.08, about a penny more expensive than May 20th, but about 14 cents less expensive than a month ago. The national average is $3.55 per gallon. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports Arkansas's jobless rate in April was 3.4%, a tenth of a percentage decline from the previous month. The jobless rate is higher than last April, though, when the rate was 2.8%. According to Talk Business and Politics, the state recorded a net increase of 6,500 new jobs between April 2023 and April 2024. The Arkansas Razorbacks softball season is over after a pair of losses on Saturday. Arkansas lost to Arizona, then Villanova Saturday in the Fayetteville NCAA Regional. Arkansas ends the year with a 37-18 record. Razorback baseball will open play in the SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama, Wednesday afternoon. Arkansas will face the winner of Tuesday's game between Alabama and South Carolina. The Razorbacks are the number 2 seed in the tournament after winning the SEC West this weekend. And the University of Arkansas's women's golf team is playing in the fourth round of the NCAA championships today. Razorbacks advanced yesterday as one of the top 15 teams in the first 3 rounds.
Well, I had so many formative years here. And, you know, I was privileged to see just about every aspect of Arkansas life across the state, and to work with some of the successful companies that were born right here in Arkansas.
This is Ozarks at Large. Randy Dixon's with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral Visual History.
Hello, Kyle.
Hello, Randy. That voice that we heard should remind listeners, if they were with us last week, that we're now part two of a Hillary
Rodham Clinton
interview.
Yes, and the time she spent in Arkansas.
Yes.
The Pryor Center did an interview with the former Arkansas and American First Lady, U.S. Senator and Secretary of State some time ago, but we're releasing it now to commemorate her 50th anniversary of moving to Arkansas.
Do we know the day she moved to Arkansas?
I would have to look that. Okay. I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay, that's fine.
I could find the date she started teaching.
So, yeah, I would maybe think in the summer of 74?
Yeah, late summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all that in 74 occurred where she was on a group investigating Nixon.
Right.
That all happened in 74.
Right.
She got a job as a professor here and moved. And then they ended up getting married,
right,
Bill and Hillary Clinton, at the house that they that's now a museum.
Right, the Clinton Museum.
That's right.
On now, it wasn't named Clinton Drive at the time, but it is now.
Right.
Yes.
It's right off campus.
Right.
But this was a two-hour interview, almost 2 hours, that's available on the front page of our website and a link on your website. Mm-hmm. But it's with Angie Maxwell, who is a UA professor of political science and director of the Diane Blair Center for Southern Politics and Society. Plus, we have it enhanced with some great archival footage from the KETV collection. So you can see it either a link from your website or from our website. And last week, we played a few clips where she talked about what brought her to Arkansas. So this week, I thought maybe we could get a perspective on the effect she had on the state and the state had on her.
Mm-hmm.
So she started here in Fayetteville. And then when Bill Clinton won the seat for attorney general, they had to move to Little Rock. She got a job at the Rose Law Firm, and it was one of the biggest firms in Little Rock. And she was the first female lawyer and eventually became the first female partner. Then Clinton was elected governor in 78. So when he became governor, that's when she really became involved in, you know, governmental policy. And she led many agents of reform for the state. Many of those involved children.
Well, because of the work that I was interested in and had done in law school around children's rights and needs, and I'd done a lot of work around child abuse and neglect, and some of the early work I'd done as a legal aid lawyer, as a student in legal aid, had been around children, foster kids, abused and neglected kids. I was really interested in seeing what I could do to help on that front. So there were a few things. One was starting the Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families, which was trying to focus political and public attention on, you know, some of the challenges that faced Arkansas kids. And it was a great organization, still going today. People really understood the importance of it. I also became very involved in supporting Arkansas Children's Hospital. That was also very near and dear to my heart. And when I moved to Little Rock from Fayetteville, the hospital was in a very small building, totally inadequate for the purposes that it was trying to fulfill. Literally, there was no burn unit. There was very little room for kids coming in and out of surgery. It was just not what it needed to be. We worked really hard to convince both the legislature and funding sources outside of Arkansas to support its expansion. I also served on the board of the Children's Defense Fund still. So those were all areas of particular interest to me. And then later I brought the program HIPPIE to mm-hmm. Arkansas to try to help convince mothers that they were their child's first teachers. It's something I literally imported from Israel. And Arkansas in many ways became the leading site for the HIPPIE program, which stands for Home Instruction Program for Preschool Youngsters. So my interest was really focused on children and families, and that's what I cared about, and that's what I worked on when I was First Lady.
All right, so here's...
We both know about the Arkansas connection. Advocates.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
my wife used to work there.
And my wife is the executive director of the Northwest Arkansas office.
Exactly.
So we both have these sort of direct connections to
right.
that. Yeah.
At least by marriage.
Yeah, well, yes. All my good connections are by marriage.
Well, mine too, yeah. I think both of us kind of married up, didn't we?
Kinda.
But, you know, a lot of these ideas that she had were not always readily accepted. Remember teacher testing?
Oh, yes.
That did not go over well. And, you know, that was just one element of several in her efforts to improve the state's education system.
we kind of, you know, winded our way through all of this obstacle course and made our recommendations to the legislature. And in it, we recommended a sales tax increase combined with a teacher test. So, you know, the teachers were really upset and they were mad at me. And I was saying, well, I don't know how else to get you a raise. I don't know how else to raise the sales tax, because right. I can make the case that teachers need to be paid more. But of course, every teacher needs to be qualified. And they right. rightly said, that's humiliating. I graduated from college. I said, well, then the test should be no problem. It's just the principle of the test that they, yeah. you know, then said was the issue. It was very controversial. However, we got the sales tax increase. Mm. And within a few years, the teachers had $5,000 more in their pockets. And we had gone from being one of the lowest scoring states in the country to a few years later having our 11th graders score above the national average. So we could point to really positive changes.
I had actually forgotten about that till you brought it up, but that was quite a topic of conversation at the
yes,
time.
Yes, I think the Donahue yep. show went on the road and yep. did a full program down in Little Rock with the teachers union and mm-hmm. The Clintons, and it was a very lively program.
Yes.
But when you think about it, with all the campaigns that she has been involved in, you know, her first Clinton campaign was 50 years ago when she first moved here. She worked on her husband's
the third district.
Campaign
right.
for Congress. And I counted this up.
Okay.
So between the two of them, Bill and Hillary Clinton have been in 14 major elections.
So that's,
now, wait, that doesn't include primaries and runoffs. So you can at least double that number.
So you're talking, there's 3rd District Congress,
yep.
there's Attorney General, there's the governorship of Arkansas.
4 times.
Presidency.
Twice.
U.S. Senate.
Yep.
And then presidency again.
Twice.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 14.
Wow.
And then, like I said, that doesn't include, because when you think about those early gubernatorial races, there was always a Democratic primary. There was often a runoff for that.
Right.
So there you're talking 3 elections in 1 cycle.
Huh.
So
yeah.
That couple
right.
has seen, you know, more than 24, maybe 36 elections under their belts.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty impressive. But, you know, she says in this that she just loved the campaign trail.
You know, my favorite parts of campaigns were actually getting out and meeting people
yeah.
and spending time with them, listening to them. I loved the campaigns in Arkansas. Didn't love the one he lost in 1980
sure.
because that was so bizarre on so many levels. But I loved every other campaign, and I loved the 92 campaign. I thought it was a great campaign. And, you know, when it was just Bill and me in a car being driven around by a great guy named Jimmy Red Jones in 1982, who had been the adjutant general of the National Guard when Bill was there before. I mean, it was just us and Jimmy Red Jones's old beat up car. And so it was like, well, what am I going to say here? What should we do there? It was just very personal. There was no campaign apparatus or any of that stuff. To, you know, the complexities of a presidential campaign, which is so complicated in every aspect. So my favorite thing is, you know, where do I go? Who am I talking to? What are we going to say? That's what I love. And so I liked that in my own campaigns. I loved my Senate campaign in New York. It was a great campaign. And it was just traveling around. I mean, really, it wasn't, I mean, I had a campaign headquarters. I had people working there, but it was mostly just being out there. Yeah, being on the road. That's what I liked.
You'd have to. You'd have to love it to do it that many times.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are frustrations and tiring, but yeah.
You know, and you can tell when you're covering certain politicians, you can tell if they really just sort of live for that.
It also helps that in almost all of them, they're either winning or have a real good shot to win.
Yes.
I mean, because I think you and I have probably both talked to politicians as it's getting close to an election day when they're not winning.
Right.
And they just look tired.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a grind.
Yeah, it's no longer the adrenaline.
Right.
It's just you're coasting
right
to defeat. Boy, how depressing did that sound?
Well, they never
did
that.
I don't like coasting to defeat.
No.
So,
no.
All right. So in late 92, you know, her time in Arkansas came to a swift end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. You're elected president in November. You got to be out of the governor's mansion in December, making plans to move to Washington in early January.
Good news is there's a house waiting for you.
Well, that's true.
You don't have to go on the market.
And I believe it's furnished.
Yes.
You know, she's trying to get the first family moved to the White House.
Yeah,
and
that's right. They have a daughter who's 9?
Yeah.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah, that...
Well, and you'll hear here, that was her major concern.
Of course.
So, you know, they were frantic times, to say the least.
You know, Bill gets elected in November, and we have to move. We have to get a school for Chelsea. We have to get organized all within, you know, 2 months, basically. And it was so difficult. It was really hard on Chelsea because, you know, this was the place where all her friends were, where she'd gone to school. And we took a bunch of her friends with us on that first trip to Washington so that she wouldn't be alone, without her friends. And yeah, it was really, really hard. So I missed my friends. I missed a lot about Arkansas. I missed the ease. I mean, you know, I would drive myself to work. I would drive Chelsea to school. I would, you know, take Chelsea to dance lessons. We'd go out with our friends. You know, it was just such an easy life. And then, you know, once Bill got the nomination to be president, starting in the summer of 92, we were surrounded by Secret Service. You know, couldn't drive ourselves, couldn't go anywhere without them. And, you know, they're wonderful people. And obviously they've been in our lives for a long time now, but what a mind.
Yeah, you can't conceive of that before that happens.
Change that required. I mean, you know, I don't get to walk out the door, get in my car, drive myself somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It really was a big adjustment.
That was quite a different life.
Yeah. Plus socks. Remember socks?
Oh, yeah.
You got to take the pet, too.
I mean, all these details.
Yes.
I mean, I'm moving next week.
Across town, and you don't like that.
Yeah, and it's a major ordeal.
Right.
And... Oh, yeah, there's the responsibility of being president and first lady
of
the United States. So at one point in the interview, Angie asked her about the difficulty of women trying to balance being, you know, a politician or business person, a wife, a mother, and then plus all the other duties that are sort of expected of a woman.
We're still having lots of problems figuring out how to understand and appreciate women in the public eye.
Yes.
And just as I said earlier, I practice law with all kinds of shapes and sizes of men. I've been in politics with all kinds of shapes and sizes of men. But women are still pigeonholed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be a strong professional public person and a good wife, good mother, good grandmother. Our lives are complicated, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's time that the rest of society got over it and just said, you know, women have every right to lead full lives. How they manage them and construct those lives should be their decisions. And we're not going to be pigeonholing and stereotyping women anymore. And so, I mean, I hope that happens at some future time, but I am, you know, adamant that we've got to stop this either or, you know, conclusions about what women should or shouldn't be.
So I think it's safe to say that in general, tough women are viewed much differently than tough men.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely
true. Yes. So, I mean, that's what she has dealt with. And, From what you can tell, I mean, you can tell throughout this interview that she has taken it in stride and really kind of laughed off some of the absurd things she saw, especially in the early 70s, because she had a tough road to hoe, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think certainly there are women in the public eye who owe, you know, have a debt of gratitude to her and Shirley Chisholm.
Easily.
And some of the other women that were in the public eye in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s that you know, were critiqued for their hair or their eyeglasses or their speech or their accents or whatever.
And what's funny is that as an observer here in Arkansas, it was almost like when they moved to Washington, it was like history repeating itself because we were used to the fact that she could take on, you know, and put together a committee of high-powered people to tackle a problem like rural health care or education systems in the state, you know, consolidation and you know, these tough things. And we were used to it. Then she goes to Washington, and her husband has her doing the same thing, and oh my gosh, what in the world is this?
Yeah.
And so, you know, and she points out too that, you know, as tough as maybe I may think she had it in Arkansas, she said it is nothing compared
to D.C.
Yeah.
Huh.
It was just ruthless.
Arkansas has always, to me, you know, been a place of grit and grace.
Yes.
A place where, you know, people did the best they could, sometimes under very difficult circumstances, but also were warm and hospitable and gracious. And, you know, that combination is a good combination. And I would hope that it continues to mark the state and the people in it so that there can be, you know, not only, you know, Arkansas pride, but that sense of welcoming and belonging that I certainly felt when I first came to Arkansas and all the years that, you know, I was privileged to live here.
A full 2 hours with Angie Maxwell can be found at the Pryor Center website.
We're on the front page.
All right. Randy Dixon with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral Visual History. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
This is Ozarks at Large. Ryan Versey, KUAF's underwriting director. How are you?
I'm great, Kyle. How are you?
Great. You're going to make some people also feel great on this Monday.
Tell you what, let's do it this way.
Okay.
Since someone has a birthday today,
yes.
How about let's let that birthday person give away something on their birthday?
Well, yeah. It's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
Yes.
So let's do what I did on my birthday last week.
All right.
For my birthday, I gave away some tickets. So for your birthday, let's also give away some tickets.
We've got a couple things to give away.
We got a couple things to give away. That's correct. And we'll start with the VIP tickets that we received from Old Friend Farms for the Old Friends Music Festival.
Which is going to be just fantastic.
Yeah. May 24th through 26th. So I'm going to let you read that person's name.
Okay, first of all, you need to know that this is my 61st birthday, so
let me make it bigger.
I can't read that print.
Gotcha. There we go.
All right, so it's this first one right here?
Correct.
Kathy Leonard.
Of
Fayetteville.
Awesome. Congratulations, Kathy Leonard.
Just all sorts of great musicians.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Next up, last but not least.
Chefs in the Garden.
Chefs in the Garden at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. This takes place tomorrow. I myself will be there. I think you'll be there as well.
I plan to be there as well.
I'd say it's a solid birthday celebration.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be pretty cool for
Jonas. Oh, Jonas. Jonas K-U-C-E-R-A. Cusera?
Cusera is my guess.
From Bella Vista.
Congratulations, Jonas.
All right.
And we apologize, of course, if we didn't get your name correct. But you get to enjoy Chefs in the Garden 2024. So yeah, congratulations, and more importantly, happy birthday to Kyle.
Well, thank you. And we got more giveaways coming through the summer.
Indeed, indeed. We absolutely do. How many baseball fans do we have out there? Be on the lookout for some Northwest Arkansas Naturals tickets.
They start a homestand tomorrow night.
Indeed, yeah. Check the website frequently.
There
because
you go.
I'm going to be posting a lot of things to give away very soon and rather often.
This spring and summer, an extremely rare phenomenon of the natural world will occur, the co-emergence of two distinct broods of periodical cicadas. This, of course, in addition to the cicadas we hear every summer in Arkansas. In this month's Short Talks from the Hill, a research and economic development podcast of the University of Arkansas, entomologist Austin Jones will discuss this insect party and tell us what to expect. Jones is an instructor in the Dale Bumpers College of Agricultural Food and Life Sciences. You can listen to him discuss his research wherever you get your podcasts or by going to arkansasresearch.uark.edu, the home of research and economic development news at the University of Arkansas.
The next concert in the Levitt Amp Fort Smith Music Series is Thursday night with Curly Taylor and Zydeco Trouble at the Riverfront Amphitheater in downtown Fort Smith. Like all Leverett Amp Fort Smith shows, this one is free. It's family-friendly. Pets are welcome. The music scheduled to begin Thursday night at 6 at the Riverfront Amphitheater. The Fort Smith Regional Art Museum will open the Rams Annual Invitational with a reception Friday night from 5 until 7 at the museum in downtown Fort Smith. The museum's Invitational has been a national competitive exhibition every year since 1948. This year's theme is inclusive, and according to literature from the RAM, inclusive artistic expression comes from artists being aware of their own biases and actively seeking out and considering different perspectives. The exhibition remains open to the public through August 25th. Lila Davidson is the new Chief Operating Officer at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and the Momentary. It was announced last week. She's been with the museum since July of last year as its Business Innovation Officer. Prior to working at Crystal Bridges, she was Executive Vice President, Account Leadership and Client Partnership for Saatchi & Saatchi. The Artisphere Orchestra will perform one more time at Crystal Bridges Wednesday night. This year's Mozart at the Museum includes the composer's Serenade No. 6 for orchestra in D major and his Symphony No. 41. The music begins at 7 in the Great Hall in Crystal Bridges. And Artisphere will continue with jazz Thursday night at Vesper Point on Mount Sequoia. The concert's scheduled to begin at 6. Tickets are absolutely free, though registration is requested through waltonartcenter.org. And one more item. The Arkansas Department of Agriculture reports this year it distributed more than 13,000 trees during its Free Tree Friday events throughout the spring. From mid-March through late April, the Forest Division hosted more than two dozen tree giveaways across the state. It was the third year for the program in Arkansas, which is held annually now in conjunction with the state's observation of Arbor Day.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas. Country music pioneer Kay Oslin was born May 15, 1942, in Crossett, a southeast Arkansas town that was founded to be a lumber town. Her father, Larry, worked as a foreman in the paper mill, but died of leukemia when Kay was only 5 years old. Kay's mother, Kathleen Bird Oslin, worked for the VA. They lived in Memphis and in Houston, Texas, where the family moved after her father's death. Growing up, Kay's role models were her mother and her grandmother, the kind of strong, independent women who would later populate Kay's songs. Oslin attended Lon Morris, a Methodist private college in Jacksonville, Texas, majoring in drama. She also got into folk music, joining a trio with Guy Clark. Clark would later become, like Oslin, a country songwriting legend, with the songs recorded by Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Jimmy Buffett, and others. The trio even recorded an album, but despite their combined future star power, it went nowhere. In the mid-1960s, Oslin moved to New York City to pursue acting. She stayed for 20 years. She appeared in Promises, Promises, Hello, Dolly, West Side Story, and other productions on and off Broadway. She could also be seen on TV, acting in commercials, and singing jingles for hemorrhoid creams, soft drinks, denture cream, and cleaning products. But music remained on her mind, her own music. In the early 1980s, she released singles on Elektra Records, a label never known for country music. They didn't sell, and she asked to be released from her contract. Still, her songs, with titles like Clean Your Own Tables and Younger Men, gained attention in the right places. After years of pursuing a different type of show business, Osland's songwriting cut the path for her unlikely middle-aged breakthrough. Now known professionally by the initials KT, Osland was in her mid-40s when her first album, 80s Ladies, was released by RCA. Just as improbable as her midlife debut itself, the 1987 release was a smash. There was an audience for what Osland had to say. Her songs were also recorded by Dottie West, Gail Davies, Dusty Springfield, The Judds, and others. Her mature takes on life and love had been seldom heard in country music, but she fast became part of its A-list. Do you still get a thrill when you see me coming up the hill? Honey, now do you? 80s Ladies was eventually certified platinum. She won a Grammy and was named CMA Female Vocalist of the Year with her debut, at an age when many singers are planning their comebacks. Do Ya from the album became her first number one hit, and with the title song, Osland became the first ever female songwriter to win the CMA for Song of the Year. Her follow-up album, 1988's This Woman, kept the winning thread of keyboard-driven laments and the complications of grown-up love. It also went platinum and also won a CMA award and added two more Grammys to her collection. Next Monday, I hope I'm a little bit stronger. 1990's Love in a Small Town hit the top five and went gold. It included Come Next Monday, heard here, her biggest hit. With only three albums to her credit, but four number one hits, Osland released a compilation album in 1993, the wonderfully titled Songs from an Aging Sex Bomb. She then retired from music and the road. The music business was changing in the early 1990s, she explained to Billboard magazine. It got younger and younger, and I didn't want to fight it, she said. So I asked my business people if I had enough money to quit, and they said I did, so that's what I did. Osland would release music and make concert appearances only sporadically for the rest of her career. You know. In 1996, several years after she'd left music, but only a year after she'd had quadruple bypass surgery, Osland released a covers album called My Roots Are Showing. It was her lowest-selling release. Another 5 years passed before her next album, called Live Close By, Visit Often. Now we're ladies, ladies. There ain't been much these ladies ain't tried. Osland's final album was also her first in 14 years, and only her sixth in a country music career spanning four decades. Called Simply, it was released in 2015. That same year, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Bringing her recording career full circle, Simply included a working of 80s Ladies, the song that started it all for her. A pioneering, unique, and very successful songwriting voice, KT Osland, died December 21st, 2020, at 78 years old. With her song Clean Your Own Tables, here's Crossett, Arkansas's KT Osland.
To be born and made, and meet the man that I.
Clean Your Own Tables by Ashley County, Arkansas native and country music trailblazer KT Oslin. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
Arkansas Arts Council bringing Arkansas performers and audiences together through its Arts on Tour grant. Learn more at arkansasarts.org.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, our militant grammarian, Catherine Churlds, is back with a spelling test of some of the English language words she says we most often misspell.
With only six letters, dilate really shouldn't be one of the hard words to spell, except for the way people, including us, mispronounce it. Many people pronounce three full syllables dilate, leading to the adding an extra A while spelling it, and dilate ain't a word.
A spelling and pronunciation quiz with our militant grammarian on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large. Our Blood Institute is making a public appeal for blood donations. Late last week, OBI issued a press release that it did not have enough appointments scheduled to meet current needs. OBI officials say they need about 1,200 donors per day to expect to meet the usual demand. The need for blood supply, they say, doesn't diminish as we move into the warmer weather season, even though donations can lag at this time of year. You can find a list of blood drives scheduled in the next few weeks or where else to give blood at obi.org. And though the calendar won't let us officially call it summer for almost another month, it certainly feels like Sunday brought summer to us as high temperatures hit around 90 into the lower 90s yesterday. The warmer temperatures mean a different soundscape for our lengthening days as well. And here's an example, a Sunday afternoon sample of birds on Mount Sequoia in Fayetteville. A variety of birds providing a spring soundtrack on Mount Sequoia yesterday. This is Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is a production of 91.3 KUAF Fayetteville. Contributors to today's show included Evian Keels and Randy Dixon, with help from Roby Brock, Paul Gatling, and Ryan Versey. KUAF's technical director is YK Karenbauer.
Matthew produced today's show in the Bruce and Ann Applegate News Studio 2. As I said a few minutes ago, it felt like summer. Bam. Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
We both went, although we didn't see each other, we both went to the Strawberry Festival.
Yes, like ships in the very bright daylight.
It was a warm, and you know me, that's okay, but it was warm yesterday.
I got some strawberries. I think you have to. Well, maybe you didn't.
But they were gone by the time I got there.
Well, they were there by the skin of our teeth. I got some. I got to see Trout Fishing in America perform. My son's favorite band is Trout Fishing in America. He got to meet Ezra yesterday and couldn't have been nicer. They played 18 Wheels on a Big Rig, which is his favorite song, too. He was confused. He didn't understand why it was playing in the way that it was, but it was a lot of fun.
Wasn't coming out of a speaker.
I know. It was really funny.
It was a good time, and look forward to the one next year.
That's right.
All right. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Matthew Moore.
The University of Arkansas Department of Political Science offers political science and public administration and nonprofit studies graduate programs. Both programs train the next generation of local, state, national, and global leaders in the public, nonprofit, and private sectors. Applications for fall 2024 and graduate assistantships are available for qualified applicants. PLSC.UARC.EDU for more information.